What's up, y'all? You are now tuning in to Queen Queen World Podcast.
Get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo Podcast, get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo Podcast, get your ass up. This the Queen Quimo Podcast. Look. This the Queen Quimo Podcast. Better get in tune when she broadcasts small feet. Better pay attention when she broadcasts all facts. Might learn something with your dog ass. Get yourself checked on a Sunday. Just might get you right on a Monday. Aim high, why? You can make it big someday. Cause when I say aim, I ain't talking about the gunplay. Even though we straight from the hood with it, any topic we could talk was good with it. Yeah, Midwest we putting on. You an artist in your song. Think your track hot, we gon' see when she put it on. They either gon' vibe or they gon' leave when she put it on. That's G, get to know about Queen. No subject, look, she just might open up. Not play this and freestyle when she open up. No play thing on the low, she be going nuts. Got the city going up. This the type of show you listen to when you're rolling up or chilling at the crib with your fam and y'all pulling up. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. Get some knowledge and a laugh on this podcast. Queen representing for the people on this podcast. It's the Queen Quimo Podcast. Get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo Podcast. Look, get your ass up. It's the Queen Quimo Podcast. Look, get your ass up. Nigga. Fat.
Okay. Hello, everybody. You are now listening to the Queen Quimo Podcast. I got a very, very special queen in the building today. I want y'all to listen closely to Miss Lolita Cornegay as she talked to us about CBD oil and, you know, all of the other ratchetness that I include in this conversation. Hey, Miss Lolita, how you doing?
Hey, girl, I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just good. Just good. You know, just got in the house. I'm excited to be talking to you, you know?
Me too. I'm excited too.
Yeah, so tell the audience a little bit about you, your background, where you're from, you know, etc.
Okay, so I live in Los Angeles, California, but I'm a Southern girl from Georgia and Alabama. I'm a registered nurse, a serial entrepreneur. I'm doing like a million things.
Hey.
That pretty much sums me up.
That's what's up. You know, so you said you originally from the South. How long have you been in California?
I've been in California since 2006.
Oh, wow. So you've been up there about 3 years now. How you like it?
13 years now.
Right? Oh, 2006. Girl, I thought you said 60. Well, scratch that. 2006. So how you like California?
So I love L.A. I think L.A. is, you know, the weather's great. Like, nobody can beat our weather. But, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit tired of it, thinking about moving back down south maybe one day.
Okay. You know, what you like about the south? Like, what's the differences between down south and L.A., if you had to compare them?
I would say the hospitality, of course, is different. You know, Everyone is more hospitable down south than they are here. Everyone here is kind of like strangers trying to be friends.
Yeah.
You know, and out there is more like family.
Right.
So that's what I miss.
Yeah. And you know what? Shout out to all of my down south family and friends, because you know what? Very hospitable. Like, everybody I know that's from the south, especially the men, you know, that what be killing me with the down south people, they say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. They'll say that to you quick, fast. Ma'am, sir, I'm young. Talk about some ma'am. But I love it, though. Like, I love it. Like, I love the hospitality.
I
love the food, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I still remember the first time somebody called me ma'am. I was in a drive-thru, and I was just home for Christmas. And they were like, ma'am. And I was like, who are you talking to? But then I realized, you know, I am over 30. So, and these kids are like 16. So, yeah, I probably am ma'am.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Yeah, man, I'm 29 now. And I got hit the other day. A young boy called me an older woman. That pissed me off so bad. I was so mad. He said, you know, because, yeah, you know, you older women. I'm like, older? Like, motherfucker, how old you think I am? You know, I'm in my 20s still. Give me, you know, give me some slack here.
All right. I can still hang. Right.
You know, man, made me want to go home and put a sweater on. I'm like, okay. So you said you moved from You moved from down south to LA. Right. What brought you to LA?
So I came, originally came to LA because I was a travel nurse. So I came out here on a 13-week contract, but then I end up never going back home.
Oh, wow. 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 So you was getting it in up in LA.
I was doing the whole Hollywood scene. Every, you know, it was going up on Tuesdays. It was fun. Ooh. You know, I moved out here when I was like, I think I was like 26, 27-ish, something like that. Uh-huh. So yeah, I was having a ball.
Man. Yeah. Shout out to you. So you took a leap on faith.
I did.
You know?
And I was broke as a joke when I came out here, but I made it work.
Shout out to you. See, that's what I'm talking about. So we got to talk about this CBD oil. Let's talk about that. You know, I did a podcast episode on my other show, y'all, Sips, Laughter, and Chatter, with Miss Boosie, and we was talking about CBD oil. And those of you who've been listening to me for a while, y'all know that I was living in Denver, Colorado. So CBD oil is like a big, big conversation. It's like magical oil everybody talking about, you know. So let's talk about it a little bit. Like, what are the benefits of CBD oil?
Okay, so my views are probably going to be a little bit different than the views that you've heard from other people. Mm-hmm. So let me just preface by saying that.
Okay.
So CBD is a cannabinoid, and you know the cannabis plant has over 113 different types of cannabinoids, and CBD is just one of them, right?
Okay.
CBD has a lot of great benefits. Like, it can help with inflammation, it can help with anxiety, it can help with pain. You know, like, it can help with a ton of different things.
Right.
But if you really want the biggest bang for your buck, you need to add a little bit of THC to that CBD.
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, I didn't know. I've always assumed that CBD oil had THC in it.
No. So here's the thing. So what happens is that these different manufacturing companies, what they do is they take the plant apart. So they'll extract some CBD, they'll extract some THC, they'll extract CBN, CBG, and the list goes on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell those extractions to different companies to make different products, right?
Right.
But cannabis has what's called the entourage effect, which means that if you put two or more parts together, they work better than they do alone by themselves.
Wow.
So for instance, if you use CBD with THC, then that's what we're calling whole plant medicine. So you're using all of the parts of the plant instead of one part of the plant, and you'll get a greater benefit.
Wow. Oh, see, yeah. Look, you learned. Now I want to get me some now. So
but the problem is a lot of people can't get the THC with it. So
okay.
That's where the issue's coming in, because everyone's hearing about how great it is, and then they get some CBD. And here's the other thing. There's a difference between cannabis CBD and hemp CBD, and people aren't talking about those differences, right?
Okay.
So you want to make sure that if you're buying something, you want to buy the cannabis CBD if you can. But if all you have access to is the hemp CBD, that's okay. But I would prefer the cannabis-based CBD.
Okay. Now, what's the differences between cannabis and THC-based?
So, hemp is originally used for industrial purposes. So, when farmers are growing hemp, they're growing it big and tall, like up to 20 feet tall, because they want the stalks of the plant, right?
Right.
Because those stalks of the plant is where they make, you know, clothing, paper, rope, all type of stuff from those stalks of the plant. However, when you're growing cannabis, like the marijuana plant, they're growing it because they want big buds, those big buds at the top. And those big buds at the top contain all of the cannabinoids, like the CBD and THC. So it's the way that the farmers are growing the plant, number one. Number two is hemp can be a bioaccumulator, which means that it draws up all of the pesticides and the toxins from the soil into the stalks of the plant.
Mm.
So when you're using hemp CBD, you want to make sure that it's lab tested to make sure that there's no mold, there's no pesticides or insecticides in what you're using. That's super important. And then the other thing is that the dosages are going to be different, right? Because
right.
Hemp contains a little bit of CBD, so they have to use a whole bunch of hemp to get more of the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
So your dosage is going to be different than if you use like a cannabis-based CBD.
Mm. Ooh, wee, girl, you sound like are you a scientist?
I'm just a cannabis expert.
Oh, yeah, you show a lot. So what got you into the cannabis and the CBD oil?
So a few years ago, I got got diagnosed with some medical issues, and so my doctors recommended surgery, and I had surgery, but it didn't help. And, like, my pain was so bad, I was, like, bedridden. I couldn't work. I would just, like, lay in bed and cry. I was taking, like, sometimes up to, like, 1,800 milligrams of, like, Advil or ibuprofen just to, like, function. And so that was horrible. So I was like, well, let me look into cannabis, even though I knew I really didn't know much about it. Like, I didn't know how to take it, what kind to use, how much to use, the strain to use, how to use. Like, I had so many questions. Right. So I just started doing research. It took me 2 years, and I did so much research, I literally wrote a book.
Whoa.
And that's how I started learning about cannabis.
Girl, I'm buying this book because now I'm all interested. I'm real interested because, like I said, I was living in Denver, Colorado, and first of all, I just want to say that I started smoking weed. I'm just be real. I started smoking weed young. I was probably like 14 years old. I started smoking weed. So then, like, when it became legal, you know, up in Colorado, it was just this big old thing. So, you know, of course, everybody, when you go to Colorado, you know, you go into the weed shop. You want to go get you some weed, try it out. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had stopped smoking weed for like a long time. So, like, when I went to that store and I bought some of that, like, weed, it just was different for me. I don't know if they did something special to it, but I literally was stuck, girl. I was stuck. And I smoked something 8 in the morning, and then, like, I was still high 8 in the evening. And I don't know why I was still high. So I was pissed off, and I was scared, and I started trying to eat cereal, bring it down. So from there, I was kind of scared, like, to try anything from CBD or anything that was associated with that. But, like, I'm starting to have joint problems, and that's when people were telling me, like, okay, get you some CBD oil that'll help with the joint problems. So I did try it, like some lotion. It was some type of lotion that was given to me, but it didn't, I didn't feel like it worked that strong, but I felt like it did work, though, you know. I felt like it did work. It wasn't like a Bengay. You know how Bengay, you put it on, and then right away it'd be like, ooh, that felt better. But then it kind of like smells so bad, and, you know, your skin kind of be tingling. It didn't feel like that, but I did feel like it worked a little bit, you know. But now that you done educated me thoroughly that it's different types of even CBD, or like, I'm like wanting to try the one with the THC to see, like, I really, because so what are the benefits of taking CBD oil? Like, what are some reasons, some medical reasons that you should take CBD oil, like, to help?
Okay, so here's the basic thing to think about, right? Homeostasis, right? Which means that our body is always trying to be like level and equal, all the processes that are happening within our body, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes something can happen that throws that homeostasis off. So you become, quote unquote, unbalanced, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially, when you introduce cannabinoids like THC or CBD or any of the other cannabinoids from the marijuana plant, when you introduce those into your body, they help regulate homeostasis, is what it's supposed to do if you use it medically, right? So you're just supposed to introduce enough to correct, say, your joint pain or correct your anxiety or correct your whatever you're trying to correct. But what you mentioned was sometimes people overindulge, right? They use too much of it. When you use too much, your body's really out of whack.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what did you just do? You flooded your system, you know, with all of this stuff.
That's me all the way. Overdo it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to overdo it. So here's the thing. It can be helpful for so many issues. So from anxiety to inflammation to pain to glaucoma to psoriasis, skin issues, to rashes, like, pretty much that's why people are saying it's like a quote-unquote miracle little drug, because it helps so many things. It helps to kind of create that homeostasis within your body.
Wow. So, so do you sell any CBD oil?
Girl, no, because that's illegal.
Oh, so I don't. Look, never mind. Y'all didn't hear that.
Yeah, I don't have a license to sell. No,
she does not sell CBD oil. That is right.
I'm starting to partner with different people who actually do sell. So I'm setting up some ways that people who follow me can get access, you know, and get it delivered to you. High quality CBD that can be delivered to you. I'm working on some partnerships right now.
Yeah. So, like, what about, like, women in particular? Because I know, like, now, you know, a lot of different people are coming forward with different diseases that women had, like polycystic ovarian syndrome. Like, I suffer from that. What's another one? Hormonal imbalance. Yeah, fibroids, hormonal imbalances.
Yeah, all of that stuff. You're right. So here's the thing. So me, I suffer from fibroids and ovarian cysts and endometriosis and all that other stuff too, which is very, very painful.
Yeah.
For me, and this is what I tell the patients that I counsel, if you have something that is that painful, CBD alone is not going to help. Like, it right. may help decrease the inflammation some, but you're still going to feel the pain. When you introduce that THC, it helps to, like, in my opinion, it helps, like, block your pain from receiving the pain signals. Does that make sense? So, like,
yes.
you can be in pain. It's like you literally feel, it's like, I think I'm in pain, but I don't feel it.
Right.
So, like, that CBD really helps you to calm down and not feel the pain. So, I even have some older people who are senior citizens, like in their 80s. They mm-hmm. first started out with just taking the CBD, but they didn't get any relief. And the moment we added a little bit of THC, they was like, this is wonderful. So,
right.
you may need to add a little bit of THC to get the full benefits.
Right. And so how important is your, like, lifestyle changes with taking CBD oil?
What do you mean?
So, like, changing your diet, exercising.
Oh, girl, yeah. So, okay, so omega-3 fatty acids are important when it comes to, like, just any type of cannabis use because it goes back to, like, the entourage effect. We need those omega-3 fatty acids, so I always tell people to add that. So increase the amount of fish that you eat, you know, basic things like that. That will help create the homeostasis within your body. And then as far as, like, exercise and stuff, I mean, there's have you heard of the runner's high? You know, when people exercise and they feel like, oh, I feel great. You know, I'm on a runner's high right now.
Yes.
Right. And everyone says that came from dopamine, like when you're releasing the endorphins and the dopamine in your body. However, new research has shown that it's not the endorphins, because they're too big to cross your blood-brain barrier. It's actually the cannabinoids within your body that does that. So, yeah, so it's very important.
So you keep saying this word, cannabinoids, and I don't want to act like I'm super intelligent. What are cannabinoids?
So cannabinoids are just properties within the plant.
Okay.
So THC is a cannabinoid. CBD is a cannabinoid. Our body produces endocannabinoids, which are AEA and 2AG, right? But what I was saying, sometimes your body doesn't produce enough AEA or 2AG. And
right.
that's why the phytocannabinoids from the cannabis plant are important. They replace those, right?
Oh, so girl, you smart. She's smart, y'all. I'm finna look up some of this stuff because I'm serious. Like, I think, like, cause you know, now it's really a wave. Everybody's trying to get healthier, and it's a good wave. It's a good wave. I feel like everybody is really trying to make some good lifestyle changes because we have all of this abundance of information. But I think sometimes we still don't have. Like, because it's an abundance of information, we don't have accurate information, you know?
Yes.
And so...
Girl, if you don't speak that, that's so true.
Man, because, you know, sometimes we overload stuff, and, like, I'm one of them. Like, I love obtaining information, but I always, like, try to pick through and, like, get accurate information. And, like, the reason why I just said that, I want to go over to this. You said that you personally have tried CBD oil for yourself, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I consume all type of products.
Yeah, I know that's right.
From the cannabis plant.
Period. So, like, what kind of changes have you seen, like, taking the CBD oil and cannabis products? Like, good changes.
Yeah, so for me, what I ended up doing, so I had to experiment. It took me a lot of experimentation to come up with a treatment plan that worked for me, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what you just have to do, because what works for me may not work for you, you know, like everyone's body is different.
Right.
And so what I figured out was when I first started taking it, I tried to do 100% CBD, and like I said, that didn't work for me. So then there's these thing called cannabis ratio. So that means, like, you can have a product that's like 18 to 1, which means it's 18 parts CBD to 1 part THC, or it can be 1 to 1, which means it's equal parts CBD to equal parts THC. And so sometimes you can find a ratio that works for you, no matter what type of product you use. So I always advise people to kind of experiment with ratios, because that's what I had to do. And then eventually I got down to a 1-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
Because for me, that's what ended up working the best. But a 4-to-1 ratio is a good start. If you're just kind of starting out and you don't know where to go, you can start with a 4-to-1 and then either work it up or work it down depending upon your needs.
Wow.
And that's what I had to do to find out what worked for me.
Yeah, see, I'm totally interested, man. I'm interested now, like, cause look, I had on a shirt the other day, right? This is so crazy. I've been wearing this shirt, right? It's the store up here in Indianapolis called Georgetown Market, and if y'all listening, this is free promo, so y'all be happy, okay? But it's the store, it's the store in Indianapolis on the west side. It's called Georgetown Market, and they have like juices, like they have a juice bar and like all type of little healthy stuff or whatever. So they gave me a free t-shirt with CBD oil. Man, you will be surprised how many people was pulling me because of this shirt thinking I sold CBD oil.
I love it.
Yeah, everybody wanted some. I said, well, goddamn it, I should have put my logo on this damn t-shirt, because I done got stopped like 15 times about CBD oil. And so, like, I really, like, it's just so crazy, like, how we ended up, like, connecting to do this interview. Like, lately, that's been a conversation people been having with me, and I don't have a lot of information about CBD
oil.
Yeah.
You know what else you could do? What I started doing, too, so, like, every single night, I take just like a CBD gummy.
Uh-huh.
It's like 5 milligrams. I just take it every single night, and it really helps me sleep. So, like, I really don't have problems sleeping anyway, but I noticed when I started taking the CBD every single night, it's kind of like taking a vitamin, right?
Yeah.
I'll just take it every single night, and my sleep has been perfect. Like, I mean, perfect. Like, and plus, I never get sick. Like, I rarely have pain. Like, all the, I kind of feel like I'm just... If you use it, like, if you just have access to CBD oil or a CBD gummy or whatever you have access to, and you just take it, like, kind of like a vitamin every day, I think it gives long-term benefits if you take it on a daily basis.
Mm. Yeah, I'm. Where can I get some CBD gummy? So, like, can you order CBD online or no?
Yeah, so, every state is different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See? I'm in Colorado. Shit. Let me stop.
No, if you have access, like if you're in a recreational state, which, you know, there's 11 recreational states right now. Chicago, Illinois just became legal too. So if you're
really?
In a recreational state, you can just walk into a dispensary and buy it. But
wow.
If you're not in a recreational state, then you have to like order it. And then you have to get it delivered. But like I said, you have to make sure you order it from a trusted source, because everything out there is not real.
Right.
And because you don't actually get high from it, you may be taking like some olive oil and not even know that it has no CBD in it.
Right.
So you just want to be careful who you order it from.
Yeah, and you know, that man, that's so bad. But people definitely be doing that shit. Like,
mm-hmm,
so crazy. Like, I remember when, you know, when people was doing those little pills or whatever, people was doing all type of stuff with the pills and selling all type of stuff. And then even now, like with, you know, the fake outfits, the fake this, the fake that, people, any opportunity to get some money, people will take. And I ain't mad at y'all. I ain't gonna knock nobody hustle. But look here, people be sick for real. And sometimes they need stuff like that. So y'all shouldn't be playing with people, you know, not about nothing like that. Like, nah.
You shouldn't be playing with people when they're putting stuff inside their bodies.
Right.
You know, that's the issue I have. Like, if people are ingesting these different things that you're selling them, we want to make sure it's safe. Like, don't be giving people stuff that ain't safe for them to ingest.
Exactly. Yeah, like, ooh, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do if I thought I was getting some CBD oil and it was olive oil. I would not know what to do.
Honestly, you wouldn't even know. You would just be like, oh, I'm taking this oil every day, and really, it's nothing in it.
Right. Oh, that's crazy, though. Man, that's crazy. So, with that being said, though, like, I'm definitely finna be interested in this. Tell me a little bit more about your book.
Oh, so it's a handbook for, so I teach classes to licensed medical professionals, like, you know, nurses, doctors, physical therapists, people like that. And so I wrote a handbook, which is called the Medical Cannabis Consultant's Handbook. And it's like everything they need to know to like be a consultant. But the book is only available for people who take my class right now. I don't actually have it available for the public.
Okay, well, tell us about your class, you know.
Yeah, the class is cool, girl. It's a it takes place here in Los Angeles. It's an 8-hour-long class, and at the end of the class, everyone gets their certificate that says, you know, they went through the program, and they are now official cannabis experts. I literally tell them every single thing I know about cannabis. I give them all the information that they need so that they can go back and tell people and educate people about the right way to use cannabis.
See, I love that. I love that. Like, man, because that's the thing. I think, you know, if we had more education about different things, number one, we wouldn't have as many problems as we'd be having. You know, people be just trying to get into something and do something because they see some work for somebody else, but they didn't have the proper education that they should have had, you know? That's dope. I love it. I'm trying to come to class. I'm going to come to Los Angeles sometime soon and get into class because I want to be an expert.
I love it, too. And then the whole cannabis is blowing up. You hear about it. Like, even the, you know, the presidential candidates, you know, they have a stance on cannabis. Like, everyone's talking about it, but no one's educating people about it. So that's why I like what I do, because there's a need for it. There's a need for people to, you know, go out there and teach people how to use it and how not to use it.
Right. And you know what? We finna switch gears just a little bit, but it's on the same lines. Let's talk about politics a little bit. So, are you political?
I'm not political, but I pay attention. I try to pay attention.
Okay, I've tried, but I don't never know what the hell is going on, because it seems like everybody that's talking don't know what the hell is going on.
Oh, that's true. You know, right now it's too many candidates out there to pay attention. It's 20 of them.
It's like everybody trying to lie to get the woman in the bed. That's what it sounds like. Like, girl, you know, when I get with you, I promise you, you know, woo, woo, woo. And then as soon as they get there, like, oh, bitch, fuck you. I got you now. I don't care. You ain't. That's what politics sound like to me. It's like everybody just trying to get you to jump in the bed, and, you know, and then once they got you in the bed, you know, they didn't fulfill none of the things that they talking about. So, like, are you, do you feel like you're a Democrat or a Republican? Like,
so officially I'm a Democrat. Okay. So yeah, I consider myself Democrat, but I'm kind of liberal too, because I believe, you know, I don't think that there's necessarily always a right and wrong, like, perfect answer for everything.
Right. I agree with that 100%. And I think too, if I was political, I probably would be liberal. I've said liberal. And that's because, like, I am a free thinker. You know, I do try to, you know, number one, I feel like we all know right from wrong. Like, we know when something's wrong because we know how we feel when we do things. Like, some things you could say, like, well, you didn't have an accurate knowledge about that and you made that decision. But sometimes, like, you know, if you hit somebody for no reason, you know that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody got to tell you that was wrong. You know, even a kid know it's wrong. You'll see kids and they look to see if somebody's looking before they take what they about to take, you know. So you come here knowing a little bit about what's right and wrong. But I feel like with politics, you know, you kind of swayed into believing what is right and what is wrong. That's me, like, believing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, well, the way it works is, like, the media kind of is biased, right?
Yes.
So they'll have an opinion, and they'll keep saying the opinion over and over and over again. And because you're listening to the news, that's what you're hearing, and that's what you start to believe. So, like, they'll create an opinion, and then they kind of, it's kind of like brainwashing, right? Because they just say it over and over again until we believe it.
Yes, and now I feel like it's even worse, because now not only do we got the news and the press, we got social media. We got bloggers, we got podcasters, we got other people with a platform to say how they feel, you know. And I think that too in itself is manipulation, because it's not really, you know, do you watch this show called Black Mirror?
No, I haven't watched. I watched, like, the first two episodes,
and
I got bored.
Yeah, look here. I ain't gonna lie to you, okay? Black Mirror is my favorite show, but it's one of those shows you gotta be in the mood. You can't be tired when you got off work. You know, you kind of, like, you know how you're in the mood to read a good book?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that when you sit down. You're like, you know what? I need to read something. The first episode, I tell everybody, don't watch it. It's trash, okay? Don't watch it. I watched it, and I was like, what the hell did I just watch? You know?
Yeah. That's squat. And see, I watched the first two, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. It don't start getting really good until, like, the next season. Season two, it started getting crazy.
Wait, so I got to watch a whole season before?
I know. You got to watch.
No. You can watch two, three episodes.
Yes. Yeah, but you know what? And it's so crazy. It's one of those things. Like where they trick you, like even the first episode, the first time you watch it, you like, what the hell did I just, you know, just watch? So me personally, I'm like, let me look it up, like, cause a lot of times when shit be dry and kind of like crazy like that, it's some truth in it. So I start looking it up, and then I'm like, oh okay, now I know why I did this. Why they did this episode? They talking about the British Prime Minister that was in British that stuck his head inside of a pig's, you know. He stuck his private part inside of a pig's head, a dead pig's head in college, and it was like a big thing, and it was like a fraternity pressured him into doing it and all this other stuff. So I'm like, okay. So I, like, each episode, if you look into it, it's always like some type of backstory behind the episode, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what made me more interested in it. Huh?
They always say that there's always some fact in every fiction. So
yes. But I'm not gonna lie to you. You're right. The first two episodes, it's like, all right, this shit, this is not it. But as you keep watching, oh honey, they be dropping some gems up on that show. They be dropping some gems. They had this one particular episode where the cartoon character won the election. A cartoon character. Now this was way before Donald Trump. That episode was like 2011. So it was like the cartoon character won the election, you know? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, how did they predict this? Kind of like the shit the Simpsons be doing, you know? So it's like, what the hell did I just watch?
Okay, I'm going to have to try it out again.
Try it again. Look, man, yes, it's so many episodes on there. It's good and trippy, and they just make you think. And the reason I brought it up is because they had one particular episode, too, where it was basically, because even on that first episode, you see how the only reason that he was forced into doing that pig was because everybody voted on it. Everybody voted on it. Like the city voted on it. They took a poll. Like, should he do it to save Princess or should he not? So then after that, the higher echelons was like, you know what? We got to make you do this. If you don't do it, we can't promise the safety of you and your family. So then was like forced into doing it on national television in front of everybody. And I think now we're just getting into, like, you know, we're getting into a really weird time where you're not really entitled to your own opinion like they say we are. You're not entitled. It's still influenced, easily influenced by so many forces. You got social media, you got the higher ups, you got family, you know, and then you got yourself. All of these different things. It's like, what do you really believe? Like, who you really vote for? Like, who? Like, what is the truth? See, look, don't get me all started. I get all trippy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like politics, you know, is just one of those things. But I do, I can't say that I'm not, political, because I also believe in, like, a lot of activism. Like, I believe that you should voice what's right and wrong. I do believe that, like, I really stand wholeheartedly with blacks and minorities in the different issues that we go through. You know, I feel like, you know, I should be a part of taking a stance in that, you know? So I can't say that I'm 100% like not political, but I'm still political, if that makes sense.
It does. And you know what? We need people. We need advocacy. Like, if no one speaks up for us, then who will? You know, they'll just take advantage of us, because they will probably reenact slavery if we don't fight for it.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And so that's one of those things where I'm more into that. Like, I'm more into, okay, well, let's fix our communities. Let's pull together. Let's speak for right. Because I'm like, we are voting for these people who are putting these policies and these practices in, and they didn't even consult us. They didn't even, like, ask us, like, what we think. They forcing us, like, well, this is what I think. So then when the times of the elections come, you know, we ask our questions, and they just feeding off of our energy. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do that because you told me to. Of course I'm gonna do that. But they ain't really gonna do that. Like,
yeah. I agree, too. There has to be some accountability somewhere up in there, you know, to make sure that they do what they say they're going to do, things that are beneficial. Yeah,
and absolutely. What about even, like what's going on in, like, the healthcare industry nowadays? Like, how do you feel about the changes that they are making even with that? Like, a lot of the politicians aren't even really talking too much about Trump care or Obamacare no more. I haven't heard much about what's going on in the medical field.
They're trying to have, during the debates, they're talking about health care for all, Medicare for all, okay. Right? Kind of like a socialized Medicare system like they have in Canada, where you don't have to pay and everybody gets access no matter what. There's good things regarding that, and there's also bad things regarding that, right? Because, first of all, healthcare is very expensive, and a lot of people don't have healthcare because it's so expensive, especially if you're an entrepreneur, like, you know, I am. Like, it's hard to be out here paying, you know, $400 a month for healthcare when that $400 can be going towards your rent. Yeah. You know, like that's complicated. Yeah. But then also, but then there's negatives to, like, the healthcare for all, because people are estimating that it will clog up the system and you'll have to wait longer to see a doctor and you won't be able to just walk in and get things done. You know, you'll have to get in line into a queue. And so there's positive and negatives, but I do definitely think that the price of healthcare needs to decrease because it's definitely too expensive for the average American to afford it.
Yes. And see, and I'm with you. Entrepreneurship, like, number one, I got forced into entrepreneurship. This was not a direction that I had set out to do at first. It just was kind of like, because of me taking my stance, like, politically, I should say, you feel me? Like, for different social injustices, I'm very vocal. So sometimes I lose my job because of that, you know, and sometimes I lose my job because of podcasting. So sometimes things happen, you know. So I kind of got forced into entrepreneurship, and I'm like you, I cannot afford $400 here, healthcare, $400 here. So I see a lot more people getting more into holistic healing, you know, more holistic healing. How do you feel that that's going to change the medical industry, holistic healing?
Holistic healing has been around before, you know, since Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
And so this is so interesting because I just had a conversation with my mother about this, like, this weekend about healthcare and the cost and holistic healing, because I want to get into more of the healing, like, plants and herbs, learning more about that. Because if you believe in God, then you have to believe that God created, he would not create us, it, like, he wouldn't give us something bad. Like, for instance, how do you say this? He wouldn't give us a cold or a disease or an illness without also giving us a cure for that cold, disease, or illness, right?
Yes.
And so that means that a lot of the things that we need to heal our bodies already exist because God created them just in the world naturally, right?
Right.
He didn't create pharmaceutical companies, right?
No.
So man created pharmaceutical companies. So my whole thing is that there are so many plants and herbs and healing, natural healing properties out there. It's just that no one teaches us. We're going back to education. No one teaches us how to use those things, but they teach us how to pop a pill,
right.
You know, because it all comes back to the money. There's no money in going out there and getting your own remedy, but there's lots of money in the pharmaceutical drugs.
Right. And see, and I think you absolutely right with that. Like with the pharmaceutical company, all these drug companies, all of the doctors, they've for a long time been getting rich. But if we even go back to, like, you know, segregation, Black people was holistic then. And, you know, a lot of things they say, remedies and all of this, it really did work because we did not have doctors like that. It was only quite a few. It was a few Black doctors. It was a few Black this. So they would get the neighborhood grandma, which was the healer, you know, get somebody old. And she always had a little garden in the back. And, you know, and, you know,
you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that's 100% true. And we need to get back to that.
Definitely,
like, I don't know how we departed from you know, healing ourselves and getting our own medicine. But I also think it goes back to, well, I'm African American, so I wouldn't say Black because I am Black.
Period.
But it goes back to us, right, period. It goes back to us just being like, we want to be a part. So,
yes.
Like, when white people finally said, you can come over here and be a part of what we're doing,
yep.
it's like we forgot our own traditions because we wanted to be a part of them so bad
yep.
that we forgot forgot how we were raised.
Preach that.
We need to kind of go back to how things used to be when there was segregation. How we had our own banks. We had our own, you know, we had our own everything.
Yep.
Because we weren't allowed to be part of them.
Yep. You absolutely right. And that's exactly what I was getting to. I feel like, I think now we kind of going back to that. You know, you see a lot more people trying to do things the natural way, holistic. Like a lot of our sisters are returning natural. You know, we see a lot of, you know, a lot of healing, a lot of healing. And now I want to even get to the spiritual side of healing, you know. That part, because like, you know, at first we had one church we used to go to, one church. We had one little praise and circle, like whatever little, what they called voodoo now, you know, it wasn't voodoo then. Now we're getting back to that because like people are getting to their selves and their own communities and they're understanding the importance of healing all of this trauma we've been through. Do you personally feel like mental health is like one of the plagues of our community?
Girl, yes, this is how I feel, especially in the African American community, is the fact that we don't believe in getting assistance when it comes to mental health. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to believe pray it away and mm-hmm. it'll work, but in reality, you can't just pray every mental illness away.
No.
You need assistance, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be an illness. It can just be like, say if you're going through a bout of depression, sometimes just talking to someone, going to a support group can help you get through that bout of depression. But a lot of people are like, no, because if I go to a support group or if I go see a therapist, then that means I'm crazy. But no, you need assistance, and mental health is important, that we make sure we have good mental health.
Yes. And like I think now we getting a little bit better. You see more people starting to speak out and get to the root, and that's good. Seeing people speak, you know, like seeing people finally, like, because you know, back in the day, you don't talk about that type of shit.
Nope.
Like if something happened, even I could still remember being little, like, and my mom be like, "Yeah, you better not tell them motherfuckers what's going on in our house." So we didn't do that. You know, we didn't go out and we didn't tell people like what goes in the house. But I also feel like, yeah, we don't have to tell people what's going on in the house, but can we at least talk in the house? You know,
so what, that part. So I literally was talking to my mom about going to therapy, and she's like, nope. Nope, absolutely not, will not have, you know. And so I was just, but mom, I was just like, you just never know.
Yeah.
If you talk it out, or you know, no matter what the issue is, sometimes you need to have assistance. You can't always help yourself and keep it in.
Yeah.
You have to let that stuff out.
Yep. And see, that generation, like our mothers, our grandmothers, they definitely, because I'm even getting into that now. Like my grandmother, we talk like often, like real frequent. And I ask all the time, I'd be like, you know, grandma, why you never told me about this? Because she got all these stories and all these experiences, you know, and just a lot of stuff like advocating. She did a lot of that when she was young. You know, my grandmother was officer and stuff. So then, like, I will get to, like, eating some, you know, food or something late at night. Or, you know, she'll be smoking her cigarette and we'll be just talking. And I'm like, granny, why you never told me this? She like, you didn't ask. What the hell? What the hell? Like, I gotta ask you about your stories. Like,
you do.
That's really crazy.
They are not good. And I also feel like the African American family keeps a lot of secrets. We have so many secrets buried in our families that, like you say, if you don't ask, they will never tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and a lot of people, a lot of those secrets die with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and see, that's something too that, like, I would like to see, like, the younger and the older generation, like, healing together.
Mm-hmm.
Healing together. Like, it's just so hard to, do you feel like when you get to a certain age, it's just harder to connect with younger people?
Yeah, I do.
I do. Hell yeah.
The only reason I say this, I have a godson who is 16 years old, right?
Uh-huh.
Because he's a true millennial, like he was born into this age of like instant gratification and, you know, all this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than when I was growing up where, you know, I remember when we got our first microwave. You know, it was like a big deal to have a microwave.
Yeah. Kids will never know, man.
They will never understand that. You know, like, So yeah, so I think because they're just used to having access to everything. Like, I remember literally, like, this is a, remember when you used to go to the grocery store and they used to sell encyclopedias inside the grocery store?
Girl, yeah.
But your mom would only buy like one at a time. So you would have like maybe A, B, and C, but you didn't have the D encyclopedia.
Man, look, that was us all day.
So you had to go to the library.
Yeah. Even that part, like having to use a thesaurus or use, you would ask how, yes. That was the silliest shit to me. I asked somebody, how you spell this? Look in the dictionary. If I can't spell it, how the hell am I look in the dictionary?
Right. They're like, sound it out. Hook the words, girl. You'll figure it out.
You know, now kids could just put three letters in and the whole sentence will come up. You know,
now they can ask Alexa. Yep. Alexa, how do you spell? And yep. We'll tell them.
Yep. Alexa, Siri, all these damn helpers. I say, ain't this some shit? We didn't have none of this shit when we was young. Like, no helpers, no yes, Google. We had, I'll say, like, by the time the internet became really, really popular, I was, like, maybe 15 going on 16. So, you know, like, social media when I was younger, we didn't have social media. We had MySpace, but by the time MySpace was popping, I was, like, 16 or 17, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, now they got social media, you know? And I feel like with the healing, we still have illnesses, and that's one of the problems, like not even understanding how to use social media appropriately, you know, how to use the internet appropriately, because we didn't even know, nobody really got a guide on how we supposed to use the internet. We just woke up one day and we had a fucking computer, and then next thing you know, we had cell phone, Razor cell phones, and then they was like, you could get on the internet on your cell phone, and I'm like, what? You know, they just threw it at us, and we taught ourselves. You know, like, I think even then, like, have you educating people about CBD oil? It's like so many rooms to educate people, like, the proper way. Like, that could eliminate a lot of problems.
But you know what I noticed is that people still like that human contact, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when I was first putting my classes together, I was like, maybe I should do, like, an online course, you know? But then I decided to do an in-person course, and every single person that I've come in contact with was like, thank you. They were like, because, you know, sitting watching a screen for 8 hours is boring.
Yeah.
You lose interest. You can't concentrate. You get distracted, you know, all that type of stuff. But people still need that human contact to connect with people, and people still want that.
Yes, yes. And I'm one of them people, because I do like to meet people in person. I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
You know, I like to hug. Now, if I don't like you, I'm not going to hug you. I am that way. If I don't like you, I'm not going to hug you, none of that stuff, because I pick up your spirit, and I'm one of them. But now, if I, you know, when I first meet people and you got good energy, I'll come hug people, and I like to talk to them, and I like to see facial expressions, and I like to get that one-on-one, like, connection with people. I love it, you know. Sometimes, right. Like you said, with the online and the screen, how much of that shit you really paying attention to? Because how many screens are you watching at the same time? Like, how many times we got Facebook Live, right? And then you can minimize it and then do whatever else you was doing on your phone.
Yep. You get distracted.
You get distracted.
So
you're not really listening.
Distracted.
Yeah. And so I love that. I do like the one-on-one classes. I think that's necessary. I think getting together, period, is necessary. Like, just getting together. Like,
yeah. So it also goes to dating. Like, I know we're not necessarily talking about dating.
No, we could talk about dating, because I want to talk about that too.
I was thinking about this the other day where, you know, back in the day, it was like you dated people from your community, because that's who you had access to. So, like, if you couldn't, like, walk to their house or ride your bike to their house or went to school with them, then you didn't date them, you know, because, like, you didn't have access. Now you got access to everyone in the world, right?
Yep.
Like, literally, if you want to date somebody. And I feel like that makes it more complicated to have, like, a family unit.
Yep.
Because people are like, well, if you're not good enough, I'll just get back on the internet and find somebody
else.
Where previously you just had to deal with it because there was nobody else.
And then on top of that, your selections was more like, you know, when you really did your homework on person. If somebody lived in your neighborhood, you'd be like, yeah, girl, I'm talking to such and such. What you know about him? Oh, girl, don't mess with him, this and this and that. You got a chance to, like, know because they in your neighborhood. So, like, y'all know each other. It's like now on the internet, you don't necessarily know the person on the internet. They could have 300,000 friends, you know, and each friend know them differently because they know them from the internet, you know, and I think you know, I'm not against online dating, you feel me? But I do feel like online dating, like you said, makes it complicated to have that family unit, you know?
Yep.
I do.
I 100% agree. Like that, I just feel like there's too many options and too many choices, and that just makes people not even want to settle down. Because why settle down when you can just, you know, be single forever and date a million people out there? Like, what's the point? And that's why I think a lot of people aren't getting married like they used to. Yeah. Like, I'm 37 and I'm not married, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like if I would have stayed, and it goes back to being in the South, if I would have still been in Georgia or Alabama, I probably would have been married by now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just have a different sense of family, you know, in the South than they do in Hollywood.
Yes. So let's talk about family a little bit. Are you really big on family?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So, like, what are some things that you, like, would like to have in your own family that you established? Like, what are some things, some qualities that you learned from your family that you would want to carry on into your extended family?
Well, I know that I'm going to be one of those parents that won't allow a lot of screen time. You know, because I didn't grow up with having cell phones and iPads and all that type of stuff. So I don't necessarily want my kids to, like, grow. Like, I see some parents that have, like, iPads inside the strollers, you know. Yeah. And I'm just like, no. So, like, I don't want, like, a screen to babysit my children. Like, I actually want to have one-on-one, you know, time with my kids. And I want them to read books and actually play, you know, family game night. I remember growing up, we used to go bowling once a week as a family. Or we would play Monopoly. You know, like, I still want, like, those type of traditions to continue.
Yeah. And I do, man, I'm real big on family. Like, I got 3 siblings on my mother's side. I got a whole bunch on my daddy's side. And, like, I'm real close with my siblings. So, you know, I think the more time you spend with people, number one, it builds your bonds, like, your loyalty, you know. Two, that's therapeutic in itself, family time. Like, just getting, have you ever just been, like, had a rough week, and then when you finally sit down with your family, you, like, forgot everything that's going on in the outside world. You know, you just forget because you just having so much good time, like, with your family, you know?
Like, and that's what I miss. Like, I don't have family. Mom, I'm an only child. Uh-huh. My mom lives out here now, but the rest of my family, like my aunties, cousins, you know, everybody else, like, they're back down south. So, like, 4th of July is coming up, and it's just me and my mom. So I definitely miss, like, you know, when it was, like, all the cousins and all, you know, everybody gets together. Like, I love that type of stuff.
Right.
And I miss it. Yep.
Yeah. Man, like, well, you know what? I hope y'all have a good little 4th of July, you feel me? I hope everything is popping for y'all and that y'all still bring that down south barbecuing right there in L.A., you feel me?
Absolutely.
With a big old pitcher of lemonade or something.
Right.
Yeah. Have a big country pot, you feel me? Ain't nothing wrong with it. So, like, when you go home, what's your favorite place to go to, like, restaurant-wise?
Oh, girl, I don't know. That's a hard question. Well, next week, we're having our family reunion in Chicago. And so I love going to Chicago. And the food there is always good, too. So, you know, getting Italian beef sandwiches.
Yes.
Chicago deep dish pizza.
You know, Harold's chicken, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking out next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Girl, I ain't been to Chicago in a minute. My whole family pretty much is from Chicago on my mother's side and my daddy's side. So, like, it's a lot of Chicago visits we used to have coming up, and I love Chicago. I love the food. When I used to eat pork, I used to go to Maxwell's and get me a little pork chop sandwich, extra peppers.
Girl,
you know.
Ooh,
yeah.
You got me. I'm making a list right now. Where am I eating?
Yeah, get you. You know. Then you know now everybody going crazy over the jerk, so they all going to Jerk 48. You know, or Jerk.
I haven't been there. Should I add that to the list?
Yeah, they say it's good. I've never been there either. I've never been there, but it's just everybody go crazy about it. I just see all of my friends going crazy. And I haven't been to Chicago for a while. And that I'm actually finna take a trip up there sometime soon this month. I'm gonna go up there and see some family. So, yeah.
I'm gonna get me some Harold's.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Extra mild sauce, you know, lemon pepper with a mystic, you know. And some peppers. A lot of peppers.
Yep.
Are you a hot sauce person or no?
No, I kind of like it mild. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I like hot sauce on the chicken, mild sauce on the fries, you know?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm not a sweet meat eater. I like it hot.
you like your nose to be running.
Oh yeah, not eyes running, nose running. I want my throat burning. It's gonna turn me on. Give me the hot sauce.
No, that's too much for me. That's too much for me.
I'm pleasurable. Oh man, and look, I'm so bad to it. I'll be like, if my friends know I'm coming and they don't have hot sauce, I think I'm being rude, so I'm gonna leave. I'm like, you know what? You being rude. You knew I was coming. Where's the hot sauce? You know, have it ready for me. And I do sometimes, but sometimes I run it out. Like right now, I'm ran out. I think I probably got like a little corner of hot sauce everywhere I go. I carry it with me everywhere.
But listen, what brand? Because that matters.
You know, right now I carry this Mexican hot sauce because it's really hot. It's like called habanero hot sauce. Other than that, I'm a Louisiana girl because I kind of like that salty hot sauce.
Girl, you know. I'm a Frank's girl.
Oh, you like Frank's?
Yeah, that's all I keep in my house is some Frank's.
Man, Frank's is good, but it ain't hot. Yeah. It got a good flavor, though.
It's like a sweet hot. Yeah, I'm not Frank. I love some Frank's.
Oh, man. Frank's is fire, though. I'm not going to lie. It got some good taste to it. But when I want something, like say if I'm eating something spicy, like, you know, not something spicy, something salty. I gotta have that little salty hot sauce. Louisiana is salty. Yeah, it's real salty. And that's bad, but you know, I love it. It's bad, but I love it. So anytime anybody wanna, you know, invite me anywhere, just know y'all should have some hot sauce handy, please. You know. I am gonna have some with me. Yeah, send me some habanero sauces, preferably, but any hot sauce y'all send me, I'm gonna know it's love. Well, thank you for visiting with me on the show today, girl. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so make sure you shout out your social media streams too.
Perfect. So I'm on Instagram. That's like my most favorite social media avenue right now. You can find me at three places. Nurse Lolita K. You can find me at The Nurse CEO. And you can find me at Cansum Official.
All right. And you guys, those social media streams will be in the link of this episode. Y'all make sure y'all check out Miss Lolita and get some more education about CBD oil and enroll into her class, okay? Enroll into the class. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.